One pleasant summer evening last year, it was late at night, I was driving through Iowa. To keep awake, I had a talk show on the radio. I don't even know where it's from. But a man was talking about three ideas, and he finally called them three lies that are prevalent in our society. There may be a bit of humor in them, but a people is also known by its humor. Of course, I will love you tomorrow. The check is in the mail. I'm from the government. I'd like to help you. We are living in a very interesting time in the history of the world. Percentage-wise, there are more people alive today than there have ever been before. And the statistics have already been worked out as to how often the numbers double. But we today have a particular challenge, simply because of the numbers of people. And in our country, we also reflect the values, the attitudes, the humor, the problems of the culture in which we live. And really, it is a sad commentary that we don't know any longer what love in the family is all about. That people don't really have an attitude over against money and paying their bills on time and finding a way to misuse other people. It is also a strange commentary on our particular country that in a democratic society where we have agreed on a certain form of government, that the government has lost its identity and we don't trust it. Our text today really puts things into a different focus for us. It comes from the pen of St. Peter. And those letters of St. Peter, there aren't too many, they're short, but they're gems. They're gems of Peter instructing, admonishing, pointing to the situation of the people of God at his time and giving them some roots and some comfort. And our message today, mostly from the words of verse 9 that were read before, remind us that there is no reason for Christians to have an identity crisis. We know who we are, and we also have the challenge, the privilege, we have the duty to let people know who we are. And we're not alone. We are living stones, just like that stone that was rejected by the builders has become the chief stone, the headstone in the arch, even Jesus Christ. So we are lively living stones building up his building, and we ought to be perceived as such by the people with whom we come in contact. Not the people we're going to come in contact with, especially those of us who are always in the state of preparation for a future ministry. We need to be reminded, now we are the living stones. Now we are the chosen people of God. Now we are the ones who have a reason to give to others about the hope that is in us. And we are the ones who also can be the light and the leaven to change the attitudes of the people with whom we come in contact. Some of you have known from my own speaking to a missions class last evening or from other reports about my coming that the greater part of my ministry has been spent in other lands, mostly in the countries of Africa, but also with responsibilities in parts of the Middle East and Asia. You've also known that my ministry has led me to the use of different forms, especially communications techniques through radio, especially the radio voice of the gospel station in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, which functioned for 14 years before the government changed and now has the name Radio Voice of Revolutionary Ethiopia. But the people of the world don't know yet that it was a bigger revolution when it was Radio Voice of the Gospel than it is under a communist regime. But the point about being a living, a chosen people, is not only for people somewhere far away. It's for people in their daily living and each of us are living stones. We are the chosen. What does the King James Version call it? The peculiar. Yes, we are the set apart, the chosen people. Let me give you just a few examples about people where this has been meaningful in their lives. Put yourself in the place of some teenagers, and it was the girls who took the lead, in an Ethiopian village, who were asked to carry placards to denounce the Western world and to use some very bad language against the oppressors who had been enemies of the people. And the implication was, of course, the missionaries. And they refused. And when asked why, they said, "We learned, and our scriptures tell us, judge not and ye shall not be judged, condemn not and ye shall not be condemned. We can't carry those placards." So they spent the weekend in prison, kicked around, harassed, taunted, living stones, peculiar people, standing up for what they know to be right. Consider also a head of state who himself was part of that overthrow, who died a very strange, even unknown death, Emperor Haile Selassie, the head of the Orthodox Church in his country, a very strong leader in the United Bible Societies, a devout Christian, one with whom we had the privilege to have an interview some years ago, which finally came out in the Lutheran Hour series, Christmas in Ethiopia. Dr. Hoffman did the interview. Our people were at the palace doing the preparations, technical work. And one thing that struck me very forcefully at that time was the emperor teased us a little bit about saying we were the fulfillment of prophecy. And somewhere in the Psalms it says, the princes will come from Egypt and Ethiopia will stretch out her arms unto God. And he said, that's what you're doing with the radio station, proclaiming Christ to his world. And when asked, what does Christmas mean to you? He said, Christmas is personal because it's a person. God sent his son to be my savior. And it's a family matter. It's something that is for me to teach to my children. And my children are also my nation. At the time, students were rioting in Ethiopia. And he was asked, what advice would you give to the students? I would give the students of the world the advice to read the Bible. He was a living stone. Even though misunderstood, condemned as a tyrant, because his lifestyle was different from what's perceived as a modern developing society, feudalism is something that ought to die by some people's judgments and be overthrown by Leninism and Marxism. This was a living stone giving witness to his faith. You can also think of examples from your own ministries. It's only 3 weeks ago that I was in a mental hospital conducting a service, and one of the little boys asked me, is Jesus your friend? I said, yes, Jesus is my friend. He's my friend too. And I said, then what does that mean to you? He says, then we are friends. That's a pretty good commentary on the peculiar chosen people of God, living stones in the building. We ought not to have any sense of an identity crisis. We know where our roots are. Our roots are in the living Christ, the living stone, the one who has given us a lively hope. He has told us we are the chosen people. We are also the ones who know mercy. Let each one of us, day by day, in our contacts with people, show that we are different. And also let each one of us stand always firm on the rock that we know to be the difference. The one that Martin Luther proclaimed so boldly. He had no identity crisis when he knew where his Savior was. May God bless us all, day by day, in our own ministries, as peculiar and chosen people of God, living in mercy. For his sake, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.